ATA doesn't like European environmental mandates. DOT's three-hour rule is wildly successful. And BRS is hiring in Florida. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 14th, 2010. Last week's ICAO assembly agreed on environmental benchmarks for the airline industry, and reaction is coming in. The International Coordinating Council of Aerospace Industries Associations this week welcomed the agreement, calling on governments to work in partnership with industry to ensure that the sector's ambitious environmental goals can be achieved. The Air Transport Association of America, the major U.S. airline trade group, issued a statement applauding the direction, but with reservations. ATA President James May commented, quote, "Unfortunately, the European states indicated their intent to continue to unilaterally impose their emissions trading scheme and other measures on airlines from other countries, contrary to the will of all other states and contrary to international law. We had hoped that an agreement at ICAO would obviate the need for our legal challenge to the application of the EU emissions trading scheme to our airlines. The Europeans resolved to ignore international law and key aspects of the new ICAO assembly resolution only strengthens our resolve to fight in favor of them," unquote. In December of last year, ATA brought legal action in the UK, challenging the first stage of the UK's aviation greenhouse gas emissions trading scheme regulations. There's a Q&A on the ATA website explaining the threat. The US DOT's three-hour limit on tarmac strandings, which the airline industry warned would bring increased flight cancellations, continued to be a non-issue in August. According to stats provided by DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics, the only tarmac stranding longer than 3 hours during the month happened August 5th and involved a United flight departing San Juan, which was diverted. That compares to 66 strandings in August of last year. Cancellations year to year were identical at 1.0%. In the 4 months of data since the tarmac rule took effect, compared to last year, tarmac strandings over 3 hours have dropped from 529 last year to 8 this year. Ballistic Recovery Systems is opening a new plant in Pompano Beach, Florida, and plans to hire 500 workers. The plant will manufacture disposable cargo chutes for use by the military in delivering supplies in remote areas. Projections call for the manufacture of 30,000 chutes a year once the plant reaches full production. The hiring in South Florida has already begun and includes openings for sewers, parachute riggers, packers, and cutters. Pay starts at about $9 an hour. Regarding a choice of the site for the plant, BRS CEO Larry Williams says the search was aimed at large metro areas where there would be an adequate workforce, unlike the BRS experience in Pine Bluff, North Carolina, where the population couldn't support expansion. While the jobs coming to Pompano Beach don't pay enough to have triggered incentives from the Broward Alliance, it was able to refer BRS to Workforce One, the city of Pompano Beach, and federal manufacturing programs for help in getting new hires trained. About 100 people have been hired so far, and Williams says he hopes to hire the rest by year's end. Our empathy goes out to Larry, who will probably have to spend much of this winter overseeing things in South Florida with all that heat and humidity, just when Minnesota is getting all snowy white and pretty. Well, you can't win them all. Up next on ANN, RVSM by Garmin comes to the Conquest. Bell lands a deal for 16 Long Rangers. And the new Airbus gear test facility opens in Filton. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 14th. I'm Paul Plack. Garmin, Aeromech of Everett, Washington, and Corporate Aircraft of Fresno, California, say they're working together to obtain reduced vertical separation minimum certification for the G600 and select aircraft. The STC is expected to be completed early next year and will initially cover new installations on the Cessna 441 Conquest II with an ARC-1000 autopilot. The upgrade will allow Conquest II operators to fly RVSM profiles at 29,000 feet through the aircraft's ceiling of 35,000. Pete Saris, Corporate Aircraft's general manager, explained, quote, "Cessna 441 owners and operators would rather operate in RVSM airspace to realize the full design capability of their aircraft. The benefits include greater range and endurance, saving up to 26% in fuel burn at the most efficient altitudes, and having the ability to fly above most weather. It's a great solution that we're proud to be a part of and a winning combination for aircraft owners," unquote. The installations will be done at authorized Garmin dealers. Bell Helicopter has been doing some business this week at the Air Medical Transport Conference in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. On Monday, the company made a deal with Air Medical Holdings for 16 Long Ranger 4s. The aircraft will be operated by AMGH subsidiary Air Evac Life Team, with deliveries coming in 2012 and 2013. Also at the show, Bell announced a donation of $200,000 to Medevac Foundation International in support of the foundation's research, education, outreach, and other charitable services to enhance patient transport and critical care services. Bell says the donation reinforces the two entities' dual commitment to supporting the advancement of air medical transport. An A350 XWB landing gear systems test facility has opened at the Airbus site in Filton in the UK. Louis Galois, CEO of Airbus's parent company, EADS, and Sir Peter Westmacott, the UK ambassador to France, opened the building, which is named after Sir George White, the founder of Bristol Aeroplane Company. Construction started in January of 2009. In line with Airbus's environmental requirements, the building uses natural light and temperature monitoring systems to manage energy use. About 30 full-time employees will be working there by the middle of next year. Still ahead, the Queen's Heron is coming to Copper State. NASA brings in 90 scholars from community colleges. And is supporting a PAC really the way to go? You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 14th. I'm Paul Plack. If you're going to the Copper State Regional Fly-In later this month, you'll have a unique opportunity to see how the other half lives. The British de Havilland DH-114 Heron, which was once used as personal transport by Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, will be making a rare appearance at the event, October 21st through the 23rd in Casa Grande, Arizona. The Heron was among the first passenger planes built after World War II, using riveted aluminum construction. I beg your pardon, aluminium. It was originally built in the 1950s for short-haul commercial flights to often less-than-ideal landing sites and featured rugged construction and four reliable engines. Seating configurations varied to accommodate between 8 and 15 people, and the average speed was about 160 knots. Only two Herons are currently flying in the U.S. The Queen's Heron was restored to a showcase condition, and the fittings in the interior are described as fit for a queen. Happy Miles of Albany, Oregon, who's the owner of the plane, will fly it during the daily showcase at Copper State. We've all heard jokes about community colleges, but the administration thinks they may be a source of tomorrow's rocket scientists, or at least robotic specialists. NASA is preparing for the culmination of the National Community College Aerospace Scholars Pilot Program. The agency will bring 90 young scholars from institutions in 23 states to join agency professionals next week to develop rovers to explore the surfaces of other worlds and learn more about actual careers in science and engineering. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden notes, quote, "Community colleges are an important part of the academic landscape, and NASA is proud to be working with these students. By letting them experience firsthand the challenges and excitement inherent in space exploration, we may be cultivating NASA's workforce of tomorrow," unquote. And finally today, I promise this won't be another rant, but I have a couple questions about the special interest group to which we all belong, General Aviation. A form letter from the AOPA Political Action Committee landed in my mailbox yesterday, in which AOPA President Craig Fuller calls for donations to help members of the General Aviation Caucus with last-minute campaign finance needs. It implies that only incumbents are worthy of our support, and says they've asked for $350,000 from AOPA. Quote, "There's a wave of anti-incumbent hostility ready to wash away the political landscape as we know it. As an AOPA member, you've invested a lot in relationships with these men and women. As a result, they understand our needs and concerns, and they are our strongest allies," unquote. The GA caucus includes many members who've supported federal health care, the government takeover of General Motors, Wall Street bailouts, and any number of other decisions that have really bothered me. Maybe I should donate to challengers to these incumbents who might also be friends of GA. Maybe I should just work to help educate anyone who gets elected on GA issues. You can find out who's feeding at the AOPA trough by going to AOPA.org, typing in GA Caucus in the search window, and hitting the button. From the results list, click on AOPA Online, Members of the General Aviation Caucus. There you'll find a list of all members of the GA Caucus. If you're not happy supporting all these people, consider being more selective. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Rod Hightower tells us what it's like to become only the third EAA president in 57 years, and the first one who's not named Poberesny. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.